doesn't matter what we hear or learn, it has to be grounded in the Word of God.
So before we get started on the next one, we'll just have a wee word of prayer and then I'll move forward. So Lord, I just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I look at all these faces and I see your love for these faces, Lord. I see your love for these women and your heart for these women and your heart that they would know your great love for them and that they would be touched by you, Lord. I'm a firm believer that if anybody comes, Lord, you'll never leave. Let them leave without something for their lives. And I just pray, Lord, that you would still our hearts, still our minds, even just our bodies would just be able to calm down and have peace, Lord, and that you'd fill us with your Spirit, and that your Spirit would be here amongst us, and that your Spirit would be the teacher, the translator, and all that we need for tonight, God. That the Word of God would be alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting between bone and marrow, Lord, and showing us in our lives what you're trying to say and what you want and what you desire. And Lord, without you, we're nothing. So we just pray, God, come, just as we prayed, have your way, Lord Jesus, in this place tonight, God. And if there's anything within us that's resisting you, Lord, that you'd help us just to let it go, and that we wouldn't be thinking about those things, Lord, but that we would just surrender those things to you, God. Our worries, our fears, our doubts, our anger and whatever it might be, Lord, that we'd be able to lay that at your feet and just let you move in our lives for this brief moment, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first time we met, we learned about whom we are rooted in, and we're rooted in Christ. That was the first time we started the Bible study with Rooted. And then we learned that but we were rooted in trust and belief as well. And then we learned about how I was sharing with you earlier that we're rooted in the truth, which is God's Word. And these are the roots that we grow. We talked about the very first original Bible study that we started with. This whole thing was about that seed being planted. And when the seed was planted, it fell on good soil. It started growing up, but it also started growing down. And we saw those pictures that you put up for us about how the trees grow these roots and how they just start shooting out right away. And even one of those pictures was showing what happens when they become deprived of water and how they just start to seek that water. They'll do whatever it takes to stretch and find that water. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about tonight I wasn't quite sure where to go because I was like, oh, Jacqueline had mentioned being rooted in love, but I will say this, if you let me. I've been teaching for a while now. I've been teaching for almost 10 years, this Bible study here. And I started thinking, if there's one thing I think I've left with you is that you know that you're loved by God. And I can still teach that, but really that's something that I believe that God reveals to you. I think all you have to really do is meditate on the cross, and you'll understand a little bit more about his love. So I wanted to go a little bit to a different place, and the more I prayed about it, I was in the car with Scott while he was driving, and I started thinking about the body of Christ. Scott taught a Bible study on Titus a couple weeks ago that was really hard to listen to, Like, I didn't want to listen to it. I just want to turn it off. And he kept saying, can you tell me what you think about that? And I was like, oh, it's a really hard Bible study because it was from a point, it was talking about the body as how we're called to function and what God is doing with us in a body. And I listened to it, and then I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about what he said. And it kind of reminded me of my Bible college days because the teachers were quite like how Paul is in the scriptures. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a really intense Bible study. It's calling people to a deeper, more intimate, but yet very much live for Christ alone kind of Bible study. And I just think that's a hard pill to swallow for some people. Surrender all, like we just prayed, right? And I started sitting in the car and I was thinking about the body of Christ. And I just, for some reason, I kept thinking the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. I don't know why it's taken me all these years to figure this out. But it was like this light turned on, and I thought to myself, wait a minute. God refers to the church as the body of Christ. That's us. I would never harm Jesus. I would never. Like, the thought of harming Jesus. Like, when we think about Jesus on the cross, we do think about the harm that came to him and the suffering that came to him. And I thought to myself, I would never harm. Or I would never try to do anything to hurt the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, I'd be the opposite. I would only hope that I would be like all the Marys who just fluttered about behind Jesus, trying to make everything perfect for him, feeding and cleaning and taking care and doing all these things. And I was like, which one am I? Am I the one that's trying to take care of the body of Christ, or am I the one that's trying to just be a big distraction in the body of Christ? And I thought long and hard about that, and I thought, I never want to do harm. And that's us. We're all the body of Christ. Anyone who proclaims that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior is a part of that body. And we should never, ever want to harm anybody or do anything like that. Our goal is to see God's body thrive, to live in full health, and to replicate and duplicate and keep growing and keep moving. And when I thought about it in that context, I thought, I've never visualized that before, that we are we're a metaphorical way of saying this is God's body, and we would never do harm to him. We would only want the best for him, his perfect health. And that's what we should want for each other, for ourselves and for each other, and for the body of Christ as a whole. And as I started thinking about that, I started thinking about fellowship and community, Christian community, as the hipster word is these days, the Christian community. So I started thinking about how we need to be rooted in fellowship. Now, being rooted in fellowship is really difficult because we're there. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we're having to deal with each other, dealing with each other can become very difficult and very hard, and it is a hard path. But it doesn't change the fact that that word of God tells us that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the truth right there. The truth is that we need to be in fellowship. So I started thinking about how we're rooted in fellowship. And I started thinking about a forest, but I'll get there later, okay? First, I want to talk about the word fellowship. And I'm just going to read you a few facts about unity and about fellowship, because modern times, we have come to a point where, and I'm not being harsh, I'm just putting it out there, and then you make of it what you will, but we can kind of coagulate everything as fellowship. Oh, I was with my Christian friends, we had fellowship. Oh, we had a potluck, we had fellowship. Oh, we went and watched the footy, we had fellowship. Oh, we did this, and we had fellowship. And everything kind of comes under this massive umbrella of, if I was with my Christian friends, or my Christian community, or my Christian family, we had fellowship. But where fellowship starts, fellowship starts in our unity with Christ, in our unity with him. And it grows out from that. And God's goal, I was trying to look for the scripture during worship, but I couldn't find it. Maybe one of you know where it is. I think it's 1 Timothy, where it says, he wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in the scriptures, God's heart is that none, no one should perish. So you think about the people in your life that you're sharing with, that you're witnessing to, or sharing the gospel with. He wishes that no one would perish. When you were talking about the what is it, that group that meets over there? The spirituals. God doesn't want them to perish. Who was it was saying that they're just deceived? They're just looking for something, I think you said. And so God wishes that none should perish. That means none. That means no one. His heart is to see that people come to salvation. And I know some of you know that because you've been praying for spouses or family or relatives, and you know that yearning in your heart. You know that yearning. So that unity comes first with Christ. And then pouring out from that unity comes our fellowship with each other. But we have one purpose and one goal, and that's to take care of the body of Christ and get the gospel out. And I think when I narrow it down like that, that's a hard pill to swallow, because you think, oh no, there's 100 other things I could be doing. But a true Christian, and I was talking to Vicky about this in the car, there was a thing that Vicky put on Facebook ages ago, and it was a Spurgeon quote or a Tozer quote, I can't remember, but it said that every Christian should be a missionary or they're not a Christian. That's an owie one. And I thought about that, and I think that's harsh, but what he's saying is that if your heart isn't to give Jesus, if your heart's not in the gospel, if your heart's not to give the Lord to people, then what is your goal as a Christian? Because some people, and I have seen it in the 15 years that I've been doing this, I have seen that some people just want safety, or they want to know that they're not going to go to hell, that they are going to go to heaven. You know, there's all kinds of different reasons why people make this decision. But our main goal is, after we fall in love with Christ, is to have his heart, and his heart is for a dying world. And so we come into fellowship, and that doesn't mean, I put right here, God's will for that is all, I'm sorry, I'll just repeat, and we can only participate with him in doing God's will, for that is all he ever does. That was speaking of Jesus. So Jesus' heart and Jesus' desire is to see people get saved. And that's where we come into unity and fellowship with him, to see other people get saved. If that's what Jesus is busy doing, then that's what we should be busy doing. But you go, oh, I'm not an evangelist. I'm really shy. I'm really this. I'm really that. I say just take that and meditate on what I'm saying to you and think about it. So the Greek word is derived from the root word koinonia. Have you heard this word before, koinonia or koinios? And this is some of the word's meanings. It's living, owning a purse, a mother, a dispute. And then when you change the prefix or it's our prefix and you add it to it, it says living in a community together. Which, by the way, I went and looked online to see current communities that live together. I don't think I could ever live in a commune, but that's... So living in a community together, owning a purse in common. Wow. A public dispute, having a mother in common, to hold something in common. And then I wrote, we hold Christ in common. We all, that's what holds us all together, because some of us will even say boldly, I probably wouldn't really fellowship with you if you weren't a Christian. You know, it's our commonality is Christ. Our community is Christ. And then I wrote down an interdependency. And that's hard, because to be interdependent on one another and to be open and to share and to do that community activity is humbling. It's humbling, and sometimes we don't want to do it. It's too hard. It's very difficult, but there's an interdependency. And it doesn't stop like, okay, I have my community with Christ, and that's all I need. I just need me and Jesus. I have a friend like that, well, an acquaintance. All I need is Jesus, just me and Jesus. And every week, she would come with a new prophecy between her and Jesus, and everything was just dodgy, like really dodgy. It wasn't even biblical. So, another word that can be translated is fellowship, contribution, sharing, participation. So we have this community of togetherness and interdependency, and it's all found in the unity of Christ. We come to him and we start needing to grow, and our roots are taking down. And I don't know, the forest was what I thought of, because you have all these trees in the forest and all their root systems start to intermingle. If you look underneath the dirt, all their root systems start intermingling. I started thinking, all our root systems are intermingling as Christians. So I went to Ephesians chapter 4, and I just read this verse. You can read it with me. It's Ephesians 4. It starts at 11, and it goes to verse 16. And I'm just going to read you. I printed mine out in the message, just because I feel like it's a lot easier to read. But you're more than welcome to read along with me, or even just hold on to it for later. It's up to you. So it says, he handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher, to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we are all moving rhythmically and easy with each other. So this is in Ephesians. He's talking about how where the goal is to try to get us to all start doing this in the same movement and working together easily, easily, efficiently, and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. And then in 14 he says, no prolonged infancies among us. I think he says that some of you no longer babes. No longer infancies among us. Please. Will not tolerate babes in the woods. Small children are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. Every breath, his very breath and blood flow through us, nurturing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And there you have it. The goal is he's left us all a gift. He's left us all something. And he's wanting us all to grow up, mature, not be babes in the woods, but start to be adults and to start to intermingle to the point where we flow. And we can do this thing called church, and we can do this thing called sharing, and we can do this thing called loving each other. With maturity and putting down our roots into that church. Remember, I don't know if I ever told you about this, about one of the teachers came in and said, at Bible college, he said, if you take a plant and you plant the seed and it starts to grow, and if you uproot it and you put it into a bigger pot and you keep doing this and then you become a tree and you plant the tree in the ground and then you go, ugh, the tree just died. I'm just going to uproot that and move it over here. And then I'm going to uproot that and move it over here. And if you keep doing that to a tree, do you know what eventually happens? It dies. Because it's never gotten to take full deep root and get saturated in that soil and get intermingled with all the nutrients and other trees that come and help hold it up in its root system. It loses that opportunity and then it just dies. It just dies. So, I found the most interesting thing, and stick with me because I'm not a scientist. However, I thought this was great. There's a woman named Suzanne Simard. She's Canadian, and she did it. Do you guys know what TED Talks are? Do you
ladies
know
what TED Talks are?
This is amazing.
I heard it on the radio, and then Gary put it on the TV, and I was like, I want this on the radio.
This is
so
good. Did you listen to that particular one? Really good. Her name is Suzanne Simard, if you want to ever listen to it on TED Talks. And she's a forester, if I'm saying that right, a person who studies the forest. But she also takes care of the forest, and her goal is to see the forest flourish and grow and do all those great things the forest is supposed to do. And by the way, I started thinking about forests. I started thinking, when I walk into a forest, I don't know how you feel, but when I walk into a forest, I feel quite peaceful. And I start to see the sun gleam in a different way, and I start seeing the trees sway in a different way, and I just thought, I don't always feel like that when I walk into church. But that's a thought. So anyways, so this woman who talked about, this was her study. She's done many, many studies over the 30 years. But one of her studies was, she started to wonder how the trees in the forest grow. And what she came to find out was that they actually communicate with each other. And how she found this out was she put three particular types of trees in the study. I thought it was funny because one tree wouldn't cooperate. And that tree it wouldn't communicate with any other trees. But nonetheless, that's my independent tree. Here we go. She talked about how a paper birch and a Douglas fir communicate. And as she was doing her study, she found out that I'm repeating her words, so these aren't mine, but so stick with me. Biological pathways of communications in the roots. So the roots start to intertwine and they start to form biological pathways. They start to share their biology a little bit. Well, we share a biology. We share the unity of Christ and his blood. And she started to say that there's a thing in the root system called mycelium. And this mycelium is what causes the roots in the soil to start to become the foundation of the forest, to where the forest starts to live as one singular organism. Right? So here, I think God's so clever, by the way, isn't he? Here's all these root systems growing together, sharing information, talking, learning, growing, getting stronger, sharing biological information, and they start to live as one solid root system, functioning to flourish. And have you ever walked into a forest that's healthy? It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It smells great. And these are her words, an interdependent cooperators. A group of interdependent cooperators. Now, we all know what it's like to not have a cooperator, but let's talk about how it is to be a cooperator. Interdependent ones, where we lean on each other. Remember the very first week I drew you a picture of, there was that tree, once again, my art. There was that tree, okay, that's my tree, right? And it's growing, but sometimes it needs that little pole to hold it up, yeah? We cooperate, we help each other, we hold each other up. The scriptures talk about this. This isn't a mystery. You guys know this. So it says, she says here, it becomes a below-ground network of communicators. Information in the Microsia fungus roots, they just grow and they start to flourish. And then she talks about this most beautiful thing. She talks about this thing called the hub tree. Now, the hub tree is what is known as the busiest tree in the forest. It's the mother tree, and there's usually in a group in a forestry, there's about six in an entire area, and they're the mama tree, and they send out all this stuff to nurture, and they specifically go after the babies, and they go straight to the babies, and they start sending underground information to the babies to help the babies grow. These little seeds grow, and she dotted them in yellow, and she dotted the dark green ones, and then the rest of the trees. But these hub trees are the moms, and they help these other little babies grow. And they nurture their young. She can be this tree can be connected to hundreds of other trees. She can be the nurturer of hundreds of other trees. And this I found interesting. When they die, when they start to die, they send information to other trees to help them reduce future stress, and they help them to increase resilience in their tree community. So here her biological system is telling her you're going to pass now, you better start telling the other trees how to go for it, how to live, how to thrive, how to be resilient, how to fight off bacteria, how to fight off all these other diseases that are growing, and how you can thrive and how you can grow. And she said, forests are complex systems with hubs and networks that overlap and connect for feedback and adaption and enormous capacity. She said, the forest, and I love this because I thought about how many broken lives the church has. She says, the forest has an enormous capacity to re-heal and have natural regeneration. And I love that because we can face times in our lives where we're just completely broken. And then we think, how am I back up? And it's because of Christ. Because he's made us to adapt and to regenerate and to grow again. But as I was thinking about this, oh, she called them, I love this. Oh, I love this. Super cooperators. All the trees start becoming super cooperators because this root system is just flourishing and they want to grow. And I thought about the scripture where it says in 1 Peter 3:8, if somebody wants to even turn there, 1 Peter 3:8, you might get there before me. Yeah, be super cooperators. Do you know, just be loving, be of one mind. Now, I know that sometimes you go, well, I don't run with the crowd, I'm diverse, I'm different, I like being different, whatever. God's not saying crush your everything that you are. What he's saying is that we have a goal. The goal is to get the gospel out. Let's cooperate in that. And I love that God loves diversity in the body of Christ because, I mean, Julie and Vicky could vouch for this. There's a lot of weirdos in my life that you just, if they walked into a normal church, they just, it wouldn't work. But they love Christ, and they look completely different from all of us, but they love God. They think different. They're more on another place than a place I could never be because some of them are quite, like, well, anyways. So, but there is a diversity, but we have one purpose. Those people want people to get saved just as much as I do and just as much as Christ does. So we're flourishing as a florist with this underground root system and we're trying to be super cooperators. Super cooperators. I love that. Fellowship, you see, is not just being together. It's doing together. Doing this life, this walk, teaching each other and helping each other parent, helping each other fight disease, praying with each other. And then I wrote down just really cooperating with each other and loving each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So we have a relationship of being with Christ, a part of Christ's body. And being a part of it and doing with Christ, Christ's body. And that comes from that inner unity that we have with him. So it's a co-participation with Christ and with one another in accomplishing God's great will on earth. You know, we don't come here and give these prayer requests because we think it's fine. We have a great purpose on this earth, and that's why we pray for God to heal and for God to save and for God to reach and for God to touch. And then I wrote down, we live in a time when all things are about the individual and not the group. And this is where my husband really, I got really rebuked. Because he was talking about, we live in a world of autonomy. You know, we live in a time where it's about the individual. It's not about the group. We live in a time where it's about self-government and self-rule. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to do my thing. And we live in a time of that, and there's no place for that in the body of Christ. This is the thing I don't understand. I was thinking about this the other day. When people get saved, I actually don't think they know what they're getting saved into, because I don't think I did, but maybe you did. I mean, like, when we say we're born again, that means, like, all things washed away. Behold, all things have been made new. That life you were after, no longer your life. It's a new life. It's no longer my life. It's now God's life. That's why when I was telling you that one time Scott came home and he started moaning about his life, I was like, your life's gone. Like, you can't moan about the life you have now, because this is God's, Christ's life living in you. So you better go deal with that now, because that, my life's gone. It's now for Christ I live. What does Paul say? Is for Christ I live, I've been crucified, is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. You know, it's not us anymore. It's not about us. That's a hard one, because we do live in a time when it is all about us. And we as a church need to grow our fellowship, our roots of fellowship, and remember it's not. And we want to be autonomous, and we don't want to submit, and we don't want to be a part of the church, and we don't want to have to humble ourselves, and we don't want to have to do this, and I don't want to be near that person, and that person doesn't want to be near me, and I don't like the way they think, and I don't like the way they talk, and I've been offended, I'm going over there now, oh, well, now I'm back, but I'm offended again, so I'm leaving again, and then I'm, you know, I mean, like, it just gets wild. And we've lost our way. I'm not saying us in particular, but I'm saying as a people, we lose our way. And Christ is like, you've gotten your mind off of what this is all about. So as a forest, we grow together. We have the same goal. And it says in 1 Chronicles 16:33, the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. And I just thought, that's what we are. We're a forest of trees. For you will be, this is Isaiah 1:30, for you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, whose leaf does not fade away, or as a garden that has no water. Like, I don't actually even know if you've ever done this, but if you go into the Old Testament, you'll see lots of things happen near the oak trees. And the oak tree is a symbol of strength. And there's so many wonderful things that happen at the oak trees. There's anointings and sending outs and births and burials. All these amazing things happen near the oak tree. But we're here to grow, and we're here to adapt, and we're here to become that forest of trees. And I know that's very metaphorical, and you're thinking, that's not very biblical, and I don't really understand what you're saying, but it is. It's just a metaphor of what the church is supposed to be like, where we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be growing. And she even said that. That's what I thought was really interesting, because she's not a Christian. She wasn't saying anything about Christ, but she said, you might notice this a lot in some of your social circles. And I thought, yeah, this is what the church is. The church is a place of nourishing and refreshment and growth and sunshine. We talked about how when the tree grows up, it looks for the air to hit it, and it looks for the sun. There's a word for all that. I can't think of it right. The photosynthesis. It's looking for the photosynthesis to help it grow. It rises up. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And this is what I thought about. This verse came to my mind this morning. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And the reason why I thought I brought this up is because this verse reoccurs in my life constantly. Because we can be so busy starting out there that we forget we're here first. Does that make sense? Like, it's Jesus, and it's serving Jesus in our family and in our church. And then by the way that we love each other, the world sees that we belong to him, because we're loving each other. Like, why would they want to come into something where there isn't any love? Why would they want to come into something where they don't feel there's like, it's just a hostile place? Why? Because people always have that criticism about church, you know? But it says, first, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And let me tell you what that word especially means. It means the greatest degree, above all, most of all, and chiefly. So let's read it this way. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. The greatest degree, above all, most of all, and chiefly to those who belong to the family of believers. It's so much easier to go out. It's kind of like with your own family. It's so much easier to go out and love everybody out there than it is to actually put up with everybody in here. But he's saying it starts here. This is like your nucleus. Your fellowship, where you go to church, is your nucleus. And then I as I thought about this, I thought, what breaks this down? What cuts this root? What makes this stop? How do we do this? And the only thing I could come up with was that it's just sin. Sin and rebellion, and not, like, when you come into something and God says, this is the way it needs to function. This is the way it needs to function. He said in Ephesians how it needs to function. I'll go back and reread that, because I actually did love that. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with its gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher, to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we are all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed with and without, fully alive like Christ. And then towards the bottom he says, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. So here it is. And then who do we think we are to come in and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't like that idea. I think I know a better way. As a matter of fact, I don't like the way you do it at all. We don't. This is how it's done. And this is what we submit to. And then when we choose not to submit to this, that, I dare say, is an act of rebellion. And rebellion separates us from... That's right. So when all these things come in, you go, oh, I know better. No, this knows the ultimate truth. This knows better. Now, for some of us, that'll be a bitter pill to swallow. And for some of us, it's welcome to truth. And the only thing that breaks our fellowship is pretty much ourselves, I think. But we can overcome those. Because remember, we can be healed. God can heal us. I don't know if anybody read the recent Calvary magazine, by the way. Did anybody read that magazine? Wow. Here is a father and a son who a father and a son who'd had this long-standing, he was a pastor, and he had a long-standing dispute with his son. His two sons took him to court. They accused him of all these things, and it was years of it, wasn't it, May? It was like over 20 years, I think. And they just thought, it's a destroyed relationship. It's done. It's done. And actually, it did look done. It was at the bare bottom of everything. And then one day the son just called up and said, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And God has just been doing nothing but heal the family and heal the relationship. And it didn't just affect his mom and his dad and his siblings. I mean, it did affect that, but it affected the church. It affected the reputation of his parents and the community. It affected so many things. Yet there was nothing but forgiveness and love waiting. Forgiveness and love and a healing. And we can overcome these things. And that's why I think we need the root of fellowship. You know, somebody came by from... on a missions trip one time, and they had asked a couple of the kids at our youth group who had been with us since they were so wee, I can't even like tell you, like 5 or 6. And he said, why do you keep coming here? What's drawing you to this? And the person responded, I'm loved. Like, I blow it, I make mistakes, I'm dumb, I've been through so much, but I know that I'm loved. And that's not a mushy love, because that person, I can tell you straight up, we've told the truth to. So, but that's it. That's what we root ourselves in this. We can't run from this. Like, sometimes it's so uncomfortable, we want to run. Like, I just don't like the... And then we find a reason why we want to run, you know? We label it as something.